Okay, boys and girls, take two. Yeah, we were all the way down. We were doing Lemon Bay and had a power outage. So I went and bought a battery backup for this thing. So we are back with the Area Fishing Report. Even though you don't know we're back, you think it's the first time, but in an effort to be fully transparent, take two. So, Robert, this is Fish and Frank here. That's Robert over there. Are we about ready to get started, I guess?
I think so.
Okay. I don't remember. We had talked about some pretty cool stuff, but I don't remember what it was.
It was going on a good roll there.
Yeah.
That's the frustrating part.
All right. As far as on the Peace River, that's where we're going to start, because that's where the place-by-place starts off, up in the Peace River. There's still a lot of smaller snook up there.
Yep.
And there's always the possibility of something bigger. And a bunch of tilapia. Okay, tilapia and Mayans at the Sanssouci Trestle, if I remember correctly.
Correct. When the guy was catching them in his crab trap and on hook and line.
Which really?
I always hear of guys catching an oddball one fish here, two fish here, except for the occasional like group of plecos that'll show up in guys' crab traps. But this guy had four of them in his crab trap.
That'll be darned.
So, after hook and line and a couple, then he was real curious to know exactly what they were. He thought that's what they were, but he wasn't 100%, so it was kind of neat. It's always fun when they're pretty sure they know what it is, but then they get it verified by one of us in here to know exactly what the species is.
Yeah. All right. Possible black drum and maybe something else at the I-75. What's going on? What else at I-75?
That's really all I heard about was that one black drum. Been pretty quiet there, unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay.
And, of course, it's prefrontal condition, so, you know, that's going to be exciting, hopefully, in the next couple weeks if that water cools off.
Yeah. Seems doing it to me again where it's changing the color of the font. Oh, well. 41 Bridge. What do we got going on at 41?
There has been a handful of snook at the power lines right there. And then the occasional black drum. And then there were some tarpon there. They were popping a little bit, and I hooked that one and fought it for a while and hooked another one.
All right. Even Robert caught a couple tarpon
throwing swim baits.
Where the heck did it all go? Oh,
that glitched on you?
Oh, yeah, big time. Hang on. Start this here for just a second. And I don't get rid of that. Okay, thank God I know how to use task thing. Even Robert caught a couple of tarpon. Now, did you catch those tarpon tonight? I think because the legs broke off the back of my keyboard, it's sitting flat. I'm hitting keys that I don't know I'm hitting.
Gotcha.
I think I figured out why I've had those couple of glitches here lately.
Right.
All right.
I caught him on a storm swim bait. That was kind of neat. That's actually the first one I've actually bent the hook on. And it was the bigger 6-inch one. I mean, I've caught 150-pound tarpon on those and never had an issue. So I don't know if it was an oddity or I just really was putting some heat on that fish, which I'm pretty used to, but it surprised me because I've had such good success on it. But it was still fun. Full moon, watched him jump a bunch of times. It was blast.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So,
last minute deal. Let's go. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's fun. How you and I got out, and we went up in the river. We just said, okay, hey, it's getting the end of the day, there's nothing going on, let's just go fishing for a little while.
Yeah, that's kind of what this was. It was like a 7:30. I mean, it was already dark. Hey, want to go? Yeah, okay. We went out for a couple hours. It was nice.
If you can get somebody who will just go out for a little while, that's cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The hard part about it is you get these guys and you say, let's just go out for a couple hours.
And then you have to pack a lunch and a dinner.
Yeah.
Change of clothes.
It's really, you know, to be able to stick to that time schedule. What's going on at Lashley Pier?
There's been a few little snook there. And the mangrove snapper have started to move back in there a little bit. Most of them are still small, but at least they're starting to get some fish. And then one guy caught a trout. So they're starting to get a little bit more life there. It's not great, but it's on the upswing at least.
Yeah.
And that water's getting really clear out there. So that's a good thing with the rivers. Obviously, it's slowed down quite a bit.
You know, I haven't checked. Let's go in and check the river. Hang on. Fishandfranks.com. Find the weather and tide button. What did I do with it? Yeah, there it is. Weather and tide. Go down to the bottom of the page and click the Peace River button. Let's see what we've got. There it comes up. All right. Wow. I guess the gauges broke. It was at 2.5 feet, and it just line plopped right straight down. So something happened up there to the gauge. But, you know, 2 feet, if we can get a little bit of rain. We've got 307 cubic feet per second coming down the river. So that's still a little bit of a flow, enough to keep the red tide out of here. Unless this graph is right, and there's absolutely no water up there now.
Right.
But it goes along at 2.5 feet and then just drops straight down off there. So we're going to say that's not true.
There's still quite a bit of brown water pouring out of the pass. So
yeah, it's going to take a little while.
There's some fresh water still cooking out of there.
Something happened here in 1954 because there was 3,870 cubic feet a second in 1954.
That's a lot.
It's 10 times what we've got now. So river was really running back then. Yeah, the average is about 400, so we're just a little bit below average. Nothing, unless, you know, the mean is 258, but I don't know what the mean, I have no idea what, so we're right about average, so that's good.
It's not too bad.
No, average is good. Okay. Bay Shore Pier, what's going on?
Crickets. I haven't had any feedback there.
Alrighty then, and getting back into here. Oh, you know what I got in my pocket? I got the show from yesterday.
Oh.
I never loaded the show.
Hey.
I have to load that up today. Okay. Yeah, duh. Jiminy crickets. Okay, Port Charlotte Beach. What's going on? The canals in Port Charlotte.
So they're actually starting to get pretty good because a lot of our snowbirds are coming back. So, snook. A lot of guys have been catching some snook trolling through the canal systems. They are picking up and seeing a few tarpon in a lot of the miscellaneous canals and not just the normal spring lakes. A couple of guys have even caught a couple trout up there in that lagoon off the Ackerman Waterway. So it's definitely starting to pick up a little bit. Forgot earlier, too, there's been a handful of guys catching some jacks, you know, 2 to 7 pounds. While trolling or just fishing off their docks, so the activity is getting better. Except for behind my house, I still have every catfish in the El Cam waterway sitting back there right now.
All right, that's going to take us out to the Alger Bean Pier.
That's been doing pretty good, mostly in the evenings and the early mornings. Quite a few guys having to do the catch and release snook. I've heard of a couple of decent sized trout, but very few, but they've been at least good size. A couple of mangrove snapper, one or two sheep's head, but minimal. But the guys that have been fishing on the harbor side of the bridge in the mornings have been seeing tarpon and catching some nice jacks. So the activity there has been pretty decent. But like I said, it's been early morning and evenings. I haven't heard much in the middle of the day off of there, which is always pretty good. I like fishing out there in the early mornings. It's such a beautiful little quiet area besides the car traffic. Just,
you know, you forget how sound it's sound waves. It's actual waves going through the air.
Yeah.
Because most of the winter we never hear I-75 because the wind's blowing out of the northeast.
Right.
And I-75 is west of the house. So with that easterly flow, you know, winds coming out of the east, it's quiet at the house. And the other morning, like this morning, when the wind's dead calm, we hear a lot of it. Or if the wind's blowing out of the west, it gets very noisy. It's really surprising. You forget that sound waves can be blown around. Yep. That the wind can actually make something louder or quieter depending upon if you're upwind or downwind of it.
Absolutely.
So, Micah Cutoff Cattle Dock, Tippy Canoe, somewhere up in there, what's going on?
Mostly the north end of the Micah Cutoff. I've been hearing about a couple of redfish, a lot of guys seeing redfish, snook are starting to stack up in there quite a bit. You know, people are seeing a lot more fish than they are catching them. I haven't heard of any of the pompano like I did earlier in the week. They were out there right around Hog Island, but I just haven't heard anything in the last, that report was 4 days. Well, Monday was the report that I got for Hog Island for that. So they should still be there. And nothing over at Cattle Dock at all yet.
Alright, that's going to take us into South Gulf Cove. What's going on in South Gulf Cove?
Bluegill.
Oh, that's right, bluegills.
One gentleman with his child fishing there at that boat ramp in that little park back there way in the southern end. And they had a field day. That's all that matters to me. I didn't even ask him how big they were. And he just says him and his kid had a fun time.
Yeah. Well, it's like when we went out, we didn't catch anything big, and we just had a real nice time.
Yeah, that's very relaxing.
Yeah,
once the sun went down.
Yeah, I'm getting more into being able to go out and relax. I think when I first started back and really started back fishing, I was trying to be Fishing Frank, the charter boat captain, the fishing guide. You know, being able to do all the stuff I did without even having to think about it, all the casting and the techniques and this and that and the next thing. And I just honestly, you know, once I just relaxed and started fishing and just enjoying where I was and what I was doing, everything went a lot better. Right. And now I'm getting some of my stuff back, you know, a little practice with it, and I'm starting to get pretty good again. So anyway, down the west wall, what's going on?
Well, that's been full of a lot of fish. Snook are scattered up and down the entire thing, both in just individuals and doubles, but also a couple small schools, you know, because those fish are just trying to stage up to figure out when winter's going to get here. There has been some redfish over there along the shoreline and under the bushes, and then up on top of the flats, guys are still getting some pompano and quite a few trout. The bigger trout have been being caught, like, just as guys are drifting along. And they're even seeing a few bonnet heads pouring up onto the flats. So it's a good little mixed bag of stuff over there. And the water's super, super clear. A couple guys have seen some cobia swim by. Most of them have been short, but they're still at least seeing them. So there's a fair amount of life over there. I forgot to mention earlier, a guy was hearing the hogs the other day, and that surprised him because he's never heard that before over there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he was trolling, motoring along the bushes, and he could hear the hogs way in the back just screaming and carrying on. And he just was fascinated by it because it's his first time hearing wild hogs. He's heard them on TV, so he figured out what it was. But at first, it kind of like, what am I hearing?
You know, what is this? You know, it's surprising how many hogs there are.
Yeah.
And, I mean, hogs are so surprising themselves because a wild pig is just one that got loose from a farm. Exactly the same creature. It's one of the only animals on the planet that if you take a wild hog and put it into captivity, it will over time look more like a regular hog, you know, just like a pig in a farm raised hog. But if you take a hog from a farmer and let it go, you going to join in? Okay. And let it go. That will actually grow tusk, hair, and everything else. Your phone okay or what?
You know on the iPhone?
Hang on. Just a minute. Let me flip that down. Or flip it up or something. There you go. I think you're on. What happened to your phone?
You know on the iPhone, you got that little button that if you push it this way, it's...
Oh, I hate that button because it makes no noise.
Nothing.
Yeah, it's just silence and it or rings.
I have been, I cannot tell you, a week without thinking my phone's broke because it makes no noise. People call, I miss all the calls. And so anyway, Captain Carl just sat down in the chair. All right, so we're on Cape Hayes, and we were talking about how amazing pigs are and how many, you know, hogs are on that west wall down by Cape Hayes.
Go down that west wall on a low tide, and you'll see a bunch.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. Now, I wouldn't eat them because anytime you get a hog, I mean, you can go there and shoot them. That's no problem. I mean, it's legal to do, but I got to tell you, I wouldn't eat the thing because between what they're eating in the bottom and everything else, ooh, that meat's, it's stinky.
Yeah, very, very gamey.
It's not like it would hurt you. There's nothing wrong with the meat.
Very salty and tough.
But it just has a horrible taste. All right, so what fish are on Cape Hayes? What's going on?
Cape Hayes is doing very, very well right now. There's pompano on top of the sandbar on Cape Hayes Point. There's trout on the outside of the bar. You know, 3 to 5 feet of water. Shrimp with a float. A DOA paddle tail. You know, there's a lot of snook on the inside of the bar. Between in that deep trough along the mangroves. You know, we were throwing those live target baits the other day, and we did very well with those.
Been a lot of bonnet heads, too, moving up on top of the hole.
Small ones, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, little bonnet heads.
Like barely 2 foot?
Yes.
Yeah.
We were actually messing with them the other day. They were coming right by the boat, and I had a rod just sitting there waiting. Pitch a free line shrimp at them and hook up. Here you go.
Yeah.
Oh, they're fun on light tackle.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you don't need steel leader or nothing like that.
No, just a shrimp. You know, anything. I can honestly tell you, we were getting broke off a lot, having a lot of them go through the leaders with 25 pound. We switched up to 40 and didn't have any problems. It's the first time I've ever had so many sharks, bonnet sharks, coming off on 25 pound test.
I tend to use longer shank, like the Mustad hooks, long shank ones, and it does a lot better than your.
Well, I was with Kale, so we had those stupid circle hook things, which I hate.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't. You know, it's just like with you. The only thing I did after being out with you for the day was put together a necessity pack where I have a catfish gripper, a small fish lipper. I've got a few things that I want. I've got a couple of the water fillable floats, just, you know, and a couple different size hooks. Mm-hmm. All I did was a very basic package. I'm still, when I go out with you guys, want to fish with your stuff and do all that, but there is sometimes when I would really like to have like
a couple other little things.
Yeah, a couple other little things. So I said that's what I'm putting together, but I'm making it a point that when I'm with you or whoever I'm with, I want to do it with your tackle and, you know, what you, the way you always fish. But now I'm having my essentials bag with me. I got that little red like Berkeley bag. That's awesome. Perfect. My catfish gripper fits in it, that bogus grip, you know, because I got a real boga grip on my boat, but carrying around, I don't want to carry that one. So, you know, it's all good. Okay, Bull Bay, Turtle Bay, what's going on there?
You know, Turtle Bay is doing very well. You know, there's a lot of smaller trout inside Turtle Bay in your 3 to 5 feet of water in the middle. There's a lot of snook in Turtle Bay right now. You know, they're doing very well in the morning on top water. And then after that, we're switching over to live target baits, and we're also switching over to like 5-inch flukes, rigging them weedless with no weight. You know, the redfish have been doing pretty good on the outside of Turtle Bay. Not a lot of them inside. There's a lot of small, scattered redfish inside, but Bull Bay is doing better on the redfish. And there's also a lot bigger trout in Bull Bay right now. Yesterday we had a hard time getting trout under 20 inches.
Yeah, that's what I was hearing too, especially over towards the, what is that, the northwestern entrance, kind of towards Whidden Bay?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. That area right now is holding some very, very big trout. And we were free-lining shrimp. We weren't even targeting them. We were fishing potholes. And we were getting some monster trout. Actually, that same spot, one of the spots that me and Frank went to.
Seeing a lot of mullet in there too, staging up.
There's mullet everywhere.
Yeah.
Every shoreline has a lot of mullet on it right now.
Pretty surprising. Well, compared to like May, June, and July when there wasn't a single mullet to be seen in my canal.
Oh, they're everywhere right now. I mean, it's
bizarre.
It is shocking as to how many mullet all of a sudden have, I don't know what you call it, appeared. Yeah. What's going on at Cape Hayes Reef?
Nothing that I've heard of.
Nothing.
Unfortunately.
What's about Gasparilla Sound?
That's been pretty good.
The area from Devilfish up to Placida, that whole area. Could be on the Boca side, could be on the Bull Bay side.
You know, especially with these low water right now, you know, Devilfish, Sandfly, those are good places to fish because there's deep water surrounding those islands. You know, there's a lot of good fish around those islands right now. A lot of snook, a lot of redfish. The trout are sitting off the islands in the deeper water. But all your snook, redfish, pompano, they're sitting right where the shallow sand meets the dark grass where it drops off. Pinfish are working best for them. I'm taking them and I'm cutting their tails and throwing them out there on a regular hook, letting them do their thing.
Robert, what do you got?
There's been snooking and redfish up along the shoreline there, closer to Whidden Creek and even towards Catfish Creek. And then if you got a little bit of water, the ladyfish and the trout have been basically all over those whole grass flats out there, just drifting along. Paddle tails have been working pretty darn good on them, with the occasional puffer fish eating them, but still.
There's a lot of puffer fish right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, those two outer islands right out in front of Catfish, they're holding a lot of snook right now. On the outside, right where it drops off, there's quite a few snook there.
You guys are seeing a whole lot of fish throughout that whole area.
Yeah. All right, that's going to take us up by Placida. What's going on at Placida?
You know, the trussels are starting to pick up on the sheep's head bite. We drove by it yesterday just looking. It was at the end of the day, and we seen a lot of big sheep's head. The sheep's head are most definitely in. I mean, they're everywhere right now. There's also pompano running around over there by the trussels on that shallow sand flats.
What's that?
The pompano on the shallow flats?
Yeah, we're all around the trussels on that shallow sand flats. So there's a lot of pompano. Good sized ones, too. Just throwing a buck jig and just bouncing it.
Yeah, my nephew's been fishing over there a lot, and he's been catching some nice mangrove snapper off of it, handful of snook, handful of baby gags, and then that little baby hogfish. Little baby.
Really?
Like 6, 7, 8 incher, something like that.
Nice.
Oh, that was pretty neat. Last week, I guess he said he caught a 25-inch gag off of it. Yeah, so.
Well, hopefully with this colder weather.
4 weeks ago, he caught a schoolmaster underneath the second causeway.
Really?
Yeah, I got pictures of that one.
Hopefully with this cold weather, all of our gags move in pretty good, like they usually do.
Yeah, we're hoping for it. So we're gonna take us up to Lemon Bay. What's going on up around Lemon Bay?
A lot of trout. Oyster Creek and all the mainland docks, just off the ends of the docks out there, a lot of nice
trout.
What
was the name of the creek?
Oyster Creek.
There's some good redfish in Oyster Creek right now.
Yeah?
Up past the bridge.
Okay.
Yes.
Where all the oysters are at.
Yes.
You better know where you're going in there.
I mean, yes, you that better.
Oyster Creek actually lives up to its name in there because it's real sporty in there if you're not careful.
Shrimp on a jig head, and you know, you're going to catch, there's a lot of sheep's head up there. There's a lot of redfish in there too, all past, you know, the bridge. The kayak launch over there by Middle Beach has been doing very well on trout and redfish.
Middle Beach. You mean Stump Pass?
No, the middle beach that's down from
there. Oh, Middle Beach North, yeah.
Yep, where the kayak.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
There's a lot of very good fish there right now.
Okay, any reports from Anger Pier or around the Tom Adams Bridge?
I have not gotten any, and they're still doing a little bit of construction there on the west side of the bridge.
Carl's shaking his head, too, so.
Hey, they are, just to let you know, they are dredging ponds right now, too.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty common. It does nothing but improve the fishing because they don't let it sit long enough to get growth or stuff on the bottom there. Where dredging slows down the fishing is a place where they almost never dredge, where years and years and years go by, like 10 years go by, and that'll slow the fishing down, eventually making it better down the road, but it kind of destroys where the fish are hanging out in those areas. But when something's dredged like ponds every, you know, 3 or 4 years, it really doesn't slow anything down because it's such a constant changing situation that stays pretty much good. So dredging is disruptive. It's like if you go back on a flat where there's been no boats there for days or weeks, the boat's very disruptive. If you're on a flat where the boat traffic is pretty heavy, the fish don't notice the boats because if they're there, they're used to the boats. Yep. So same thing with dredging. All right, Gulf of Mexico. What's going on out in the Gulf?
Really, really good. I mean, extremely good. Literally from the passes to like 15 miles out, some Spanish mackerel, oddball king mackerel. Guys have been catching blackfin tuna in enough mentionable numbers in that 45 to 55 feet of water. The triple tail are on every fifth or sixth buoy out there. And then any of the hard bottom or some of the nearshore reefs have got mangs. A lot of sheep's head moving on to them. The mangs and lanes. Not as many big lanes in closer, but some really, really big lanes out there in like that 60 feet of water mark.
There's been a lot of sea bass in about 40, 45 feet of water. I've also been hearing about a lot of sheep's head being caught, not sheep's head, flounder being caught off of Mary's.
Off of Mary's?
Yep.
It's a good spot for them.
I had six people tell me they caught some very nice sheep's flounder there.
Yeah, we just caught sheep's head, grunts, and snapper, and mangs there the other day.
Yep, they were using shrimp.
So are we. But they don't like me as much. I've actually caught more flounder at Trembly, but Mary's is always a good spot. Same way with Helen's. Helen's always seems to hold a lot of flounder, too, when they show up out there.
Okay. Venice Jetties, anything?
A handful of sheep's heads, some snook at night. And there's been a couple of Spanish mackerel moving through there, but it's just kind of a mention, but not a... I couldn't say that they were targetable.
I know somebody that lives up there, they fish that a lot. They've been using a lot of mullet heads and ladyfish heads, and they've been doing very well on some big snook there at nighttime.
Yeah. I doubt they're catching them as big as that one that you saw the other day.
Well, probably not, but I wish I would have got that one.
That fish was impressive. There was one out there on the beach the other day when we were out there. Saw Carl out there, and he pointed it out to us. It was a stud.
Boca Grande Pass?
Boca Grande Pass has had some jacks in it, an occasional, mentionable amounts of Spanish mackerel and bluefish coming through. They don't seem to stick around long. They kind of pop up for a little bit. They move a couple hundred yards and pop up again. We did see a couple tarpon the other day, hooked a couple sharks in there. Some of the guys have been catching some sheep's head and some mangrove snapper right in the main part of the pass. And then going outside of the pass along the north edge of the channel, pompano and flounder in like 15 to 25 feet of water, really slowly working some of those heavier, you know, crazy jigs, banana jigs, or little bucktails, even shrimp.
All right. How about Captiva?
Captiva's been almost a mirror image from what I've been hearing for the pompano and the flounder part of it. The other stuff, not so much.
I've been hearing about a lot of snook.
Yeah.
Yep, a lot of snook on your south part of the all those docks on the south part of the pass. There's been a lot of snook on them docks.
And what are they catching them on?
Them guys down there are using still a lot of white bait. But the live target bait would work just well, just fine.
All right. Okay. Let me see. Anything from Redfish Pass or Little Gasparilla, anything like that?
Not so much.
Little Gasparilla, those docks. I've been fishing them docks on the outgoing tide. We've been doing pretty good on snook in there. Majority of them, you know, are not the big ones, but, you know, 20-inchers, 25-inchers,
right.
Fun size. But there's a lot of snook on Little Gasparilla docks.
Okay. Let's take, if we're going to walk up and down the beach, and it could be anywhere from Venice all the way down south, standing on land, casting out into the Gulf of Mexico, what would you expect to catch?
Whiting. There's a lot of whiting out there. I've been seeing a lot of whiting on the beach. A few snook. The snook are seeming to move off the beaches now. But there are still some very good snook out there.
Yeah, the only thing I've heard about, honestly, has been right there at the tip of Boca Grande. Guys have been catching, you know, a few sheep's head, a few mangrove snapper, and a couple of baby gags, but it's been
pretty quiet. I seen them catching pompano over there. Couple pompano at the Boca Grande Pass.
I mean, they should be because they're catching them right there in the pass, but I just haven't heard much for feedback yet, unfortunately.
Yeah, we were snook fishing there, and I was sitting there watching the guys fish off the land behind us. They were catching pompano. Throwing out with a weight on a shrimp on the bottom.
Nice.
Okay. Change that to a smaller case. There we go. All right. Punarasa, Sanibel. What's going on down there?
I haven't been down there in a couple weeks.
Robert?
The only thing I've heard of was some bigger trout right there out in front of the hotel docks there where usually they're picking up those big snook. They're catching some trout. That's the only report I've gotten down there. Unfortunately.
Okay. All right. The Coosatchee River. I haven't talked to anybody down there. Anybody?
No.
Okay. I
talked to my client yesterday. He said there's garbage floating down. He sucked up 4 bags the other day driving down the Coosatchee.
Wow.
Yep.
Just plastic bags?
Yes.
That uncommon or not?
Yeah, he sucked up 4 just driving down there in one day.
Huh. That's a lot of trash going down the river. You're either very unlucky or there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's common for right now. Is there a lot of stuff in Charlotte Harbor?
No. Charlotte Harbor's very clean right now. A lot of clean water.
I'm going to think that was probably just bad luck because, I mean, you hear about it semi-regularly, but they've also slowed the locks down again. They started to slow the water coming out of the Coosatchee. They announced that on the news yesterday or day before yesterday. So they're starting to, I don't know, they're saying that they're doing it for anticipation of all the future rains, but who knows?
Yeah.
I mean, I think there's just enough people complaining that they're finally just starting to slow
that down. Today's what, Friday, right?
Correct.
Yes. Okay. If you're listening to this today, Friday the 8th, tomorrow morning, I guess I'm going to be with Robert and Josh on the radio waterline.
Yep.
So
what is that?
92.9 FM's 7 to 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. Let's see, Mount Lachey. Anything happening around there?
In the north part of Mount Lachey, they've been doing very well on redfish. Cut crabs, cut ladyfish, cut mullet are working very well for them. There's also been, you know, a lot of snook over there around Mount Lachey Bridge. And some very good sheep's head fishing going on, you know, around all your oyster beds in Mount Lachey. There's a lot of oyster beds in Mount Lachey. There's a lot of sheep's head out there. Pretty good ones, too. Shrimp on a jig head is what I'm using. Little, just not even a whole shrimp, just a little, taking a shrimp and ripping them in half. Putting them on the hook. Something less for them to steal.
Right.
What do you got, Robert? Anything?
I've just heard of a few sheep's head off the actual bridge itself. And it's been a little quiet for me for reports there. Unfortunately. You heard about any of those baby tarpon or anything like that down there in the Cape Coral canals?
No.
All right, well, let's move around to Pine Island Sound on the other side of the island.
Yeah, there's been a lot of redfish out in those flats right there by the Spanish House. And also Big Jim's Creek, there's been a lot of redfish out in those flats. They're not up on the shoreline. They're out, you know, 50 yards off the mangroves in those potholes.
And what was the name of that creek?
Big Jim's Creek. It's like a half a mile past south of...
Yeah. No, I just couldn't remember what you said.
I mean, there's a lot of redfish all in those areas. If you get out there early in the morning before all the boat traffic, set down pretty far out, like a few hundred yards out, and come in quietly, and you will see redfish tailing. Once there starts being boat traffic, all those fish, they're not tailing no more. They're just sitting.
Hunkering down and hiding in the grass?
Yep.
It's pretty funny how the hunt can just lay right down and hide.
It just takes one or two boats.
Yeah, we were talking about that when I was out fishing with you, that you used to be able to go out there, and if you got there, if you drove out in the dark and were sitting there right as the sun was coming up in that inside area on Gasparilla Sound and actually on many of the flats, and just sit there quiet like a hole in the water. Don't move around. Make sure you just sit in one spot. And you can see the redfish pop mm-hmm. up. You see all these fish going on. Then you hear the first boat in the distance, and all stops.
Yep. Oh, they stop. They stop pushing. I mean, they stop tailing. They just settle down, and they're pretty much just hiding after that.
All right. The north end of Pine Island is Jug Creek Shoals, Boquilla. What's going on around there?
Been some good trout fishing on the inside of Jug Creek Shoal and you know, a little deeper water, 3 to 5 feet. There's been some very good trout fishing out there.
Yeah, the trout and the bonnet heads is what I've heard about over there. Even over there by Mondongo.
Same. No, I haven't.
No.
Alright. It's gonna take us down to Burnt Store Two Pines area. What's going on there?
A lot of pompano on the bar itself. Once you get to Burnt Store, those two islands, they're holding some snook right now. You know, the redfish are scattered around all your oyster beds around there, just south of Burnt Store and just north of Burnt Store. There's some pretty good redfish running those flats on those oyster beds.
Is that snook coming from FedEx or is it coming from another truck?
I don't know.
Okay.
So, anything else you got over there, Robert?
Been a few pompano or flounder mixed in with those pompano on top of the bar. Not a lot, but been a handful being caught there. It's not too bad. None of the guys have been wade fishing much, so it's just been boat fishermen mostly with the reports.
Do you blame them?
No, not with the traffic that's running across that flat.
Well, also, it's cold.
Well, that too.
Well, yeah. It's going to get cold. It ain't cold yet.
Yeah, you're going to be dressed up like me in a couple days.
Well, tomorrow. Actually, tonight, probably.
Yeah, tomorrow. I think your high for the day tomorrow will be around 8 o'clock in the morning.
Ugh.
Then it'll start dropping all day long.
Great.
Yeah, it's awesome, isn't it?
No.
Yeah, no, not fun.
All right, let's take us up to the east side.
The east side's got a lot of, you know, smaller trout on it. On the inside of the bar, there are some, you know, pretty good sized cobia running those flats. I'm seeing them pretty much whenever I see a stingray come by the boat. There's usually a cobia following that stingray. You know, there's been some very good sheep's head up inside Hobbs. The other day I met up with a buddy over there. He was on his kayak and I was out there by myself. I met up with him. He had a stringer full of nice sheep's head. Fishing shrimp on all those little islands right there, just right behind Hobbs. He's seen a couple nice redfish in there. I seen a couple nice redfish in there. But that's about it for over there.
Yeah, a lot of cobia cruising up and down the bar. Most of them you're hearing about are small, with the occasional really big one. That just hard to catch, though, because people aren't seeing them until they're right on top of them, and sometimes those fish just get lockjaw just to spite you.
Yeah, there has been some ladyfish on the outside of the bar on Pirate Harbor.
Oh, there you go.
I mean, that might not be a bad idea to slide out there, catch one, slide on the inside of the bar, throw it out on a bobber while you're trout fishing.
All right. Alligator Creek, Poacher's Cut, Skating Rink.
I've got nothing in there this week.
I mean, there's been a few pompano on the very outside sandbar through Alligator Creek and all that. But I mean, other than that, there's a couple redfish, but not much.
Been a little quiet.
Yes. Yeah, I ran it the other day on a really low tide, and
I had a customer who went back there, and he saw tons of fish, but then he bottomed out. He misjudged the tide, locked her up, and as soon as that motor went, the fish, he saw just fish scattering everywhere. He didn't know what the heck they all were, but
there's a lot of mullet there, but there are some redfish.
Yeah, that's always exciting to mess up like that.
Okay.
There's quite a few little crabs in that area right now, too.
Yeah.
Small blue crabs.
Oh, okay.
On all them little humps right there on the outside of the skating rink, there's a lot of small blue crabs through there right now.
Okay, they're dredging at ponds, so what does that mean?
I mean, as of last week when they were dredging, I mean, I was still catching snook in there. I mean, it's crystal clear in there. I was seeing some very nice mangrove snappers sitting on the bottom. You know, they were sitting on the opposite side of the pier, and there were some very nice mangrove snapper that I seen.
Yeah, I watched Kale was loading his boat there, and I watched this. There was probably 10, 15 snappers there. A few of them definitely keepers and all the way down different sizes. He loaded the boat. They were there. Couple of them blew back into the water, and then once he turned the motor off, they were all right back there again. They're just so used to that boat traffic. So, all right, that's going to take us into the PGI canals. What's going on there?
A lot of juvenile tarpon everywhere throughout there, and then some really big jacks. They've been chasing some of those mullet that are starting to really school up inside there. You know, 10-pound jacks. So good stuff.
Fun ones.
Yeah, real fun size. And of course everyone's, you know, their snook lights are lighting up, so they're seeing a lot of snook, tarpon, some catfish. One guy was asking, he said he thought it was a black drum at first, but then he said it rolled on its side, and he asked me if it was possible to be a Goliath grouper, and I said, yeah, absolutely. He said this thing looked like it was 60 pounds or bigger. His light got dark, and he's like, huh.
There's been a few oddball oversized redfish in your PGI canals in the deeper water.
Back there off the rim canal in those deep holes? Yes. Or?
Yep. Pinfish. Freeline now, pinfish.
What are they, oversized redfish?
Yes. Not a lot, but there has been a few in there. You know, pinfish, freelining them, letting them go to the bottom.
Yeah, Richie hasn't been in at all this week. I heard that his boat was being serviced, so he was out of commission for about 5 days. He's usually the good one for some of those reports.
Yeah.
All right. Gilcrest Pier, anything?
Crickets.
Yep.
Unfortunately.
And, all right, the Alligator Creek Reef. Now, Kale and I went there the other day, and a guy got, he just lost what he said was a 20-pound-plus cobia there. Lot of people trying for different stuff. Tons of mangrove snappers there.
Tons of small trout, too.
Really?
Yeah, a lot of small trout. I mean, that 13, 14-inch range.
Speckled trout or silver trout?
Spotted sea trout.
Really?
Yes, a lot.
Wow. I've never caught one out there.
Your graph will light up at one of the debris spots, and it'll be all mangrove snappers. You slide off that one to the next debris spot, and then it's all little baby spotted sea trout.
Nice.
All right. Now, Carl, you were saying going out in front of Pirate Harbor to get ladyfish, but now, didn't you?
Yes.
What happened at the reef the other day? You were there.
They liked the shrimp. They didn't like the ladyfish.
You were there 4 hours. I got to give him a lot of credit. Yeah. He put ladyfish out, waited 4 hours for something to hit.
Yep.
Yep.
And then nothing touched the ladyfish at all.
So
I went back to a shrimp.
You went back to shrimp and got the cobia.
Yep. Because I was catching them in the morning. I was just out there by myself that day, just, you know, messing around, seeing what everything was going on. And I caught 4 or 5 in the morning, and they were all short, you know, 30 inches. So I was like, let me go get some bigger bait. And I ran to Pirate Harbor, got some ladyfish. Figured that would have worked. And I sat out there for 4 hours with a free line ladyfish, a ladyfish on a float, and then a ladyfish on the bottom.
I've never used ladyfish in cobia. I've used whiting, sugar trout, shrimp, white bait. A couple times I've caught them on chunks of mullet. I've caught a lot of them on Spanish sardines. I don't ever remember catching one on a ladyfish, though.
Me neither.
Rick. We watched Rick that one day.
Yeah. I know other people have. Yeah. It's a fish. Other fish are going to eat it.
I never thought about it until just now, but I have honestly never tried it either.
I've never done it.
Yeah, and it didn't work for me for 4 hours. I took it off, put a shrimp on, and I caught another short one. But yeah. I mean, what was it, a week before we seen one of the customers come in here? He was using live ladyfish, and he caught a big one. Yeah. I think it was like 38. But they didn't want them that day. I was using them.
All right. You guys got anything for the deep holes in the harbor?
Catfish?
Yeah, lots of catfish. Lots and lots of catfish.
I'm going to call possible cobia, because if they're going to the reefs and stuff, they're in those holes or going through those holes.
They should be.
Have you anybody heard about anybody trying the stretch 20s or stretch 30s going through the holes for Goliath?
No.
Or gags, rather, gag grouper.
I've had a couple guys try it last year, but I haven't any tried this year.
I sold one guy a couple lures now. If I was going to do it, I would take like that big bomber 30, that monster one, and then Rapala 20, two very different size baits. Put those two out, and you got to let them get your trolling speed up to about 2.5-3 miles an hour. Get at the top end of the hole, and you got to let that big lure down very, very slowly until it starts bumping bottom, then come up one crank. Because as you get from the edge of the hole, it's going to get a little deeper, so you should be fine there. And you got to do the same thing the other one, because both those lures will go deeper than the depth that you have to work with. It's only 18 to 20 foot, maybe 22, 24 foot. So if you're going to get deeper there, you know, you just let your lures down. You're going to be real close to the boat. Give them one crank up or a half a crank up where they're not tagging the bottom. And just troll across the hole, go out, but two lures, and I'll troll from one hole, pick them up, run the boat down to the next hole. If this is something, you know, to try and catch gags and you really want to get into it, go out there, run your boat across, find the edge, north end and south end of the holes, mark those on your GPS, then mark the middle holes and then the part harbor holes. Mm-hmm. All right, to the bait reports. White bait is on the beaches.
Yeah, on the beaches and now, even some south.
I did see some in Bull Bay.
Placida.
Inside Bull Bay.
Bull Bay inside. And according to Danny, he said he's found it at Devilfish and Boquilla, but it's thin and you really got to look for it, and it's not steady or constant. But he's saying between outside Bull Bay, Devilfish, Sandfly, Placida, Boquilla, he's been finding bait, but he's spending a lot of time finding it.
Yep. I mean, pinfish, I mean, you could go to Devilfish, throw two handfuls of chum in the water and throw your net one time and you got a couple hundred pinfish. There's a lot of pinfish at Devilfish right now. I'm just sitting out, you know, about 4 to 5 feet of water where all those pinfish are.
Anywhere else you're hearing about them?
Over there by Bird Island in Boca Grande.
Okay.
Out there in the deeper flats, you know, about 4 to 5 feet range. There's been some very good pinfish there too.
Has there been any pinfish, Boquilla, east side, west side, anywhere else?
I haven't.
The entrance to Pelican Bay on the backside of Cayo Costa. Been some good sized ones there, like hand size and just a little bit smaller.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, I've been going straight to Devilfish for all the pinfish. It's just, there's just so much pinfish there.
Anything for thread fins?
I did see some yesterday. They weren't big ones, but I seen them out there in front of Bull Bay in probably 9 to 10 feet of water. There was a bunch right on the surface. I'm not sure what was chasing them, ladyfish or mackerel, but something was on them.
All right, ladyfish?
Pirate Harbor has, outside of Pirate Harbor, has ladyfish. The inside of Turtle Bay on the inside of the sandbar also has ladyfish too.
So also been some up and down the west wall with the guys drifting looking for trout. Not a lot, but enough where they're hooking a couple here and there. That's about the only thing other than the catfish that I can hook behind the house at night. A couple ladyfish here and there.
Well, you keep all them catfish behind your house.
I know. That's what I was telling them earlier. I said I have every catfish in the Elkham waterway right behind my house right now. It's pretty funny. They weren't as thick yesterday, but they're still there.
All right. What else do we do on the bait report here? Ladyfish, pinfish,
white bait and thread fins. Yeah. Been a lot of blue runners out there at the on top of some of the small reefs like the Novak Reef and then also the markers right outside of Boca Grande. Some, you know, good bait size blue runners. And then there's also been those, what do they call them, speedos or hardtails. Mm. They've been mixed in with them too. So a little bit of other varieties of bait. So if the guys are running offshore and want to go try to do some catch and release AJs or try for some grouper, those blue runners can be pretty good.
Okay. All right. That's going to take us down to the freshwater report. What do we got for freshwater? Bluegills. In the South Gulf Cove. They were using wigglers?
Yeah. And then there's been some good bluegill and a little bit of crappie activity in some of the Northport canals and some of those ponds over in Northport. And then quite a few guys buying the shiners for the bass. I think after this front comes through, those crappie ought to start to turn on sometime middle of the week.
Yeah, that should pick up pretty good.
You know, we'll have enough guys coming in probably Sunday looking to go crappie fishing because it's cold.
Yeah, that bite's going to pick
up. I know Lake Okeechobee's been doing really good with the crappie. Wayne Quick was in here the other day, and he was saying that the crappie bite's been pretty darn incredible over there. Him and his one buddy, they had their limit in 2 hours of fishing. And he said the bass fishing's been good, but you have to really kind of work at it. They've been catching some nice bass, mostly throwing worms. The watermelon's been the best color over there. Some of the guys that are shiner fishing are picking up bass, but the bigger bass are being caught on the plastic worms. He said there was a, you'll like this. He said there was a tournament up on the Peace River for bass about a month ago or something like that, he said. And he fishes it every year. He said it usually takes about 18 pounds to win it.
Right.
He said 8 pounds won it. Second place was 3 pounds.
He on said, the Peace River?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He said that the few guys that he talked to that, you know, born and raised up there, they said that there was so many fish that got displaced into the farm fields and everything else with all that floodwaters that it's...
Well, it's... Fish can withstand the floods to a degree. The problem with this flooding was it was twice normal flooding.
Right.
Flood stage is like 11 or 12 foot there, and this was approaching the 1920s. This,
right.
I heard reports of 23 foot there, which is the highest it's probably ever been, but they were saying 19 when the gauge broke.
Right.
So I heard 23 at one point, 21, 23, but that's more than a fish can withstand. There's way to stay there, so they get, as the water comes up, they've got to get out of that main current, so they end up in ditches and ponds and everything else.
Cow fields,
yeah. I mean,
somebody's front porch. I mean, they got so displaced, and with it receding, they just got lost, confused, and stuck. Some of them never made it back to actual waters that were permanent bodies of water.
All right. Moving on to the tarpon report. Larger tarpon in Boca Grande Pass, from what I hear.
Yep. Yeah, Rick went out yesterday. He was going to go look for him, but I didn't hear back from him today to see if he did any good. He was going to the pass.
And under the 41 bridge at night.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then there's been a couple of those juveniles at El Jobin in the early mornings.
And then your Punta Gorda canals.
Yeah. Yeah, Rick came in and bought 2 dozen big shrimp and said, I'm going to go out and give it my last big hurrah if this front comes through as big as it is. He said, this will probably be it for me for tarpon fishing for a little while.
I heard squirrel fish are doing very well in the Boca Grande Pass for the tarpon.
Yeah. Be neat to go out there and catch them. Catch a tarpon in December would have been just, if we would have landed that one, that would have been pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it was still a fun fight. I still can't believe I straightened that hook out. I don't hardly ever do that with storms. I very rarely have a problem with them. I know you said you do occasionally.
Yeah,
but
I've had problems with bigger fish on them.
I do on that power bait, but not the storms. I very seldom do. And I usually put some pretty good heat on those fish.
Yeah, I mean, that storm paddle tail, it's amazing, but that's the only downfall I've came across on bigger fish.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah, yeah,
little sound effects.
Yeah, checking thing here. All right. What else should I put in here about the tarpon reports?
I don't know. Everything's gonna change.
All right. That
cold front coming tonight. This is gonna change a whole lot of this stuff. So, you know, currently this whole report is
believe
very accurate up until tonight.
You know, we're going to try and hit the 50. We just hit 55 minutes on the report, so we can do one of these reports.
Wow, nice.
You know, WKDW wants us to do more shows, and I just looked over and went, oh, 55 minutes, we can do this.
Yeah, we can.
So we could do that as another show for WKDW. We're going to have to get you to help us with a few other shows, mm-hmm. but this one, Carl... we want to get this, we're getting requests from other independent radio stations, the nonprofit radio groups, for programming. So
that's a good thing.
We might be on a whole bunch of channels all over the place here within the next year or so.
It's real good.
Yeah, it's not something we had really planned on, but, you know, hey, that's the way it goes. You know, if you want to hear God laugh, tell him your plans.
And right.
Yeah, I mean, that's my whole life. So, anyway, with the cold front, if it hits today sometime, now, I'm going to go on fishandfranks.com, click the weather and tide buttons. I have the NOAA radar there, and that front's still north of us.
Way north.
No, not Wayne. Yeah, no, it's kind of on a curve. No, it's south of there. It's not down to Tampa, except part of it is. It seems like it's going down below Tampa. Let me get a bigger view. That's the... Okay. There is some rain going to be hitting Tampa here pretty quick, but the vast majority of it's still up by the Panhandle to the Big Bend, but scattered showers coming at us. I don't know if that big full front's going to come down all the way to us.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I mean...
I'll be good with that.
From what I heard, that it's supposed to go into 40s tonight, but I'm not sure that that's actually going to come all the way down to us.
Well, they said for Saturday, which is technically midnight, so that's... I think tomorrow we're going to see our high somewhere between 3 and 6 o'clock in the morning. And then it's going to...
Actually,
drop throughout the day.
No, they said by 5 o'clock tomorrow it's going to be 60 degrees. It's going to be this morning kind of like tomorrow morning kind of like this, but by 5 o'clock tomorrow it's supposed to start getting cold. At least that's what I've been hearing.
Gotcha.
So tomorrow morning may be pretty good, and it should be some awesome fishing. You know,
yeah,
we're going to
right
be doing the radio show.
Up.
Otherwise, I'd be out with Carl in the morning. We'd take my boat, Carl, because we could get back in that.
Yeah.
It was funny because Carl and I are fishing all over the place, and he was saying something about getting rid of the boat, and I'm just laughing at that all day. Like, he's going to get rid of that thing. We're 10 inches of water, and he just starts up like we're in, you know, 30 feet. Just goes, sets down wherever he wants, goes wherever he wants. And I'm thinking, I couldn't do this in my boat, and it runs as shallow as any flats boat out there.
You couldn't do it in most John boats, what his boat will do. Silly.
You know, the one that might have kept up to it, that old blue aluminum pontoon boat I had?
Yeah.
That thing was awesome, because it was always just flat.
Yeah.
And it only drafted literally about 4 inches of water, maybe 5.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter if you were running it, stopped, started... I was making boats I had that little pontoon boat back up in Micah Cutoff one day, and we're fishing, and flats boats come around, and they're, you know, they're fishing, and then they go to take off, and they can't get up. It's too shallow for them to get up, and I just hit the throttle of that, just my 14 miles an hour right on out of there. I mean, it didn't matter if you're going 1 mile an hour or 14 miles an hour, same amount of water.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people, they say, well, I think about getting a pontoon boat. I guess you... I'm like, hey, man, I like pontoon boats.
You got all the room in the world on them.
Yeah, they're awesome. They're not good for fishing a shoreline, you know, like working a shoreline. But if you're going to go up and fish, the only thing you got to do is figure out how to anchor off the back. Now, both my pontoon boats, I had them rigged up so I can anchor off the back, which now you have this beautiful area out of the front to fish off of, and it's awesome.
Yeah.
But people anchor off the front of a pontoon boat and fish off the back. To me, that's a little backwards.
Backwards, yeah.
Yeah, that's anchor off the stern. What difference? It's a pontoon boat. What difference does it make?
Right.
And you get to fish off the part you paid for, the big, beautiful open part.
Yeah, you have a lot more room to run around on.
And all I do is off the very back cleat in the back corner, I tie a short rope with a clip on it. Then on my anchor line, every 10 feet, I tie a loop in the anchor line. And I just let out as much anchor as I want, take that short rope, clip it, let it go over, and then I can stay in the boat and pull the anchor up, unclip that, and, you know, it works really good. Just adding that extra piece, and I use it as a clip-on. Because I don't want to crawl down and get to where that cleat is every time I want to put the anchor up. So, anyway, what else do we got to talk about here on the area fishing report? Because we did the fishing report, so we get to goof off here a little bit. Anything else we want to go over?
Honestly, not that I can think of. I mean, just try to take advantage of what little nice weather we have for this short window, and then be prepared for a whole lot of changes by the middle of the week, next week, if it stays.
It would be nice to get a burst of rain, and I won't mind 1 or 2 days worth of cold, but it really doesn't look like it's going to be long cold weather. It's going to be like in the 50s, and by Monday or Tuesday, it's going to be back into the 50s and 60s overnight. Yeah. We've just had that.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to be a nice, quick little burst of cool, and actually burst of cold, because it hits 40s down cold here. I'm freezing.
It's 60, and that's chilly for me.
It's 75, and Carl's got long underwear on.
Yep.
If it hits below 80, I'm cold. But, you know, with these cold weathers, don't beat yourself waking up so early. Yeah. Sleep in a little bit. You know, those fish are very sluggish, and they're not doing very much in the early mornings right now.
Yeah, and we got some great breakfast joints in town. You can go down to the breakfast restaurant, have breakfast, eat something, get a cup of coffee, relax, go back, put the boat on, take your time. Get out there 11 o'clock, 10, 11, 12 o'clock, and you'll have a great day.
Mm-hmm. The fish are going to, you know, they'll cooperate a lot better once it warms up a little bit.
All right. Anything else, guys?
Well, that's about it.
You know, another thing is that the water's getting very clear. You're starting to have to stay back a good distance wherever you're fishing now. Don't get as close. You know, you have to stay back a lot further now because the water's just getting so clear.
Oh, some of your new reels should be here today. We're waiting on the order. So
that'd be good then.
Yeah, you're getting new reels today. I'm going to buy you 4 of those little pin combos, the 2,500 ones, because that was, for those fish that we were catching that day, that would have been spectacular to quick catch those with that. And I think your customers are going to love them. It's the 2,500 Conflict 2 combo, literally pin out. You know, maybe what we'll do is 3 of the conflicts and 1 of the pink one. You get much women on your boat?
Yep.
Okay, we're going to get you 1 of the pink ones, too. We're going to get you a Passion and 3 of the Conflict.
Yeah, I get a lot of them.
Because I got to tell you, that Passion combo and that Conflict 2 in the combination, excellent rods, great casting. I mean, I've been awesome. Robert, you fished it the other night.
It was great. Both of them. I got to fish both of them the other night. And they were both super comfortable. I mean, I don't know. I can't say enough about it.
For factory presets, it's absolutely amazing. It is literally something I would have put together. And I hate to sound so egotistical, but I could not have picked a better balancing rod reel together than what they did.
Yeah. Wow.
Absolutely staggering. So, all right. Now, let's see. Welcome to a place of rods, reels, line, and fish. You're about to enter the fishing zone.
I like it.
That's one of the intros we use when we're doing the radio stuff.
I like it.
Yep. And there I am again. All right. Well, Fish and Frank here in the chair. Robert in the chair across me. And a special guest seat is Captain Carl KB Backcountry Charters. So, what's your phone number, Carl?
941-565-7325.
All right. And I guess we'll catch you on the next Area Fishing Report. Thanks for listening, guys. You have a great one. And bye-bye.